Greetings and welcome to the 8th episode of the Pinstripe Ballad podcast. And surprisingly, the season's not over yet, even though, you know, it's only been a week. I know some fans are thinking the season's over, but shockingly, we've got a lot of baseball to play. And it's been quite some baseball this week for Yankee fans, I gotta say. I mean, swept the Orioles, took the series from the Angels, and now we're facing the Twins. I'll have to apologize as a host note. This podcast is delayed a bit because, like a pansy, I actually had to wake up really early on Monday, which is so irregular for me.
Outrageous.
I know. I'm shocked by it, too, and a little disgusted, because I hate waking up early. I really
do. Pathetic and embarrassing.
I know. So that's why this podcast is delayed. We will try to still keep it on last week's baseball and not focus too much on the one game against the Twins today, which we all saw. It was sad. Anyway, I'm giving you a raise, your host for this podcast. With me is Lord Duggan, who also shares my belief in doing this podcast without any preparation or, you know, anything. And what would Jeter do, who we just found out prepares for this podcast, actually writes out notes? I'm fascinated by this. Duggan, I mean, she's prepared.
She's prepared, and we're not, so...
Well, you've got a beer.
Well, yeah, but... Okay, fair enough.
All right, so, I mean, I've got a bottle of water here. Waffles, how are you doing now that I've, you know, thrown you out there like that?
I'm sorry that I like to know what I'm going to say.
Sorry. That's not the way to go. You gotta just
make up bullshit as you go.
Exactly.
If you're gonna fit in here, then you need to learn.
Okay, my notes consist of triple slashes and innings pitched and runs and strikeouts. It's not extensive.
That's more than I know. All right, just a quick podcast note. In case you didn't see my little update on the Pinstripe Alley, we now have a blog, Pinstripe Alley Podcast at blogspot.com. Or no, .blogspot.com. I don't even know the podcast blog's name.
But, we're very official now.
I know. This is where we'll be storing the majority of our podcasts, and this is also how we now get them back up onto iTunes, which we are officially now back on iTunes. So, hooray, you can take our majestic, note-prepared, beerish voices with you. I'm happy with this. And, hey, we might even blog there sometime. Probably not, because, you know, we're all lazy. Actually, I don't think Waffles is, but... Anyway, let's get right into this week in Pinstripes. Obviously, we're discussing last week with the Orioles and the Angels. Let's just start with the hitting. Waffles, we'll begin with you since you're prepared. What did you think of the hitting this past week?
Well, I think that there has been both good and bad. Jeter has been amazing.
Phenomenal.
I mean, it's kind of shocking how good he's looked at the plate. And I know that they've mentioned a few times that people have said he looks like he's faster, which you wouldn't really expect at his age. But I think that he's looked really good, and A-Rod's looked pretty good, I think. He hasn't driven in a ton of runs, but he's still getting on base quite a bit. So, and he had that, like, ridiculous home run to
dead center.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
I'll say this. I think A-Rod is working on his swing a bit still. I mean, still from spring training, but the way it seems he's swinging, and he's hit some hard hit balls, but, like, right at people. So, I think he'll get there. I mean, he looks like he's starting to really come around, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeter's been ridiculous. I think I saw a tweet today where he said last year he started off, like, you know, because last year the beginning of the year, he didn't hit like, he hit like crap. And then he got injured, and then he said he went back to the old way of doing things, and he said he's still on the old way of doing things. I think he should stick with the old way of doing things. That seems to have, you know, it seems to be working best for him, I think.
He tried to eliminate his stride.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
He needs to stride. Just like I need to strut. Duggan, what are your thoughts on the hitting of last week?
Well, I think Jeter's doing a great job of both getting the ball up in the air and keeping it, you know. He hasn't been getting a ton of outs on the ground, which has been a problem in the last few years, and he's doing a great job of going to right and right center. I think if he keeps doing that, he's going to keep hitting the ball really well, so whatever he's doing now, he should just keep doing it. With A-Rod, I think he has been making pretty solid contact, but I would really like to see him go to right and right center more. A lot of his outs have been ground outs to the left side, and that tends to signify that you're trying to pull outside pitches, trying to thinking too much about left field. Like remember that, you know, first spring training game when he hit that home run off of Doc Halliday to right center field. When he's going best, he really uses the whole field. And I haven't really seen that a ton for him. You know, he still makes a pretty solid contact, but I think when he's really locked in, I think you'll see him hit differently than he's hitting right now.
Agreed.
So I think that there's still some steps to go for a lot of people in the lineup. I think, you know, you're still really early in the season. I think people are still finding their swings. Swisher has looked pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
Gardner hasn't looked that bad either.
No. Gardner has actually looked pretty great.
It's my boy.
He's actually the starter with the second best numbers on Jeter.
Thank you, Miss Notes. All right.
I'm
proud of Gardner. You know me. I'm one of the biggest Gardner fans on the site. Actually, I think I'm the biggest.
Yeah.
And
he has looked good.
You know definitely. who else has looked good? Raul Labañez. He has not looked that bad.
No, he never looks good.
Okay. I don't think that his raw numbers in terms of percentages, as in like a triple slash, has been particularly great, but when he has gotten his hits, he's really made them count. You know, he kind of every time he gets a hit, it's like when the Yankees really need a hit.
I think the only real reason he's on the team, so. I mean, if that's
all.
That home run.
I don't really believe that you can kind of save your hits. What's that?
The home run that he hit yesterday might be a reason why he's on the team.
Oh yeah, like he's definitely a kind of guy that's going to get you some home runs.
We love dingers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that you can really like save up your hits for when you really need one. Like, it's a tie game and there's a runner on second, so I'll wait and I'll save up my single until now.
Single with no one on base? That's boring.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of been fortuitous to have all of his hits come at a good time. And, you know, I don't really believe that that's something that is a repeatable skill. He's done a good job of it up to this point, and hopefully he can get more hits and continue getting hits when it's an important spot. But as of this moment, he really has gotten some really big hits for them, which is kind of great. And so I think they're, at this point, willing to forgive if he hasn't gotten a ton of hits, if the hits that he has gotten have been important.
I'll say this. I mean, I still don't like the platooning DH thing. I'm still not a fan of that. I really wish we just had one solid DH who could hit both. But that's me.
That would obviously be preferable to have someone who was just like a really good hitter. But in the absence of that, Ibanez is, you know, at least serviceable against right-handed pitching and can certainly be a power threat and doesn't embarrass himself, but is really bad against left-handed pitching, like really bad.
Yeah.
And Andrew Jones crushes left-handed pitching. So with the personnel that they have, it makes perfect sense to say, well, Ibanez does pretty well against right-handed pitching and terribly against left-handed pitching, and Andrew Jones does really well against left-handed pitching, so given that these are the two guys that we have, let's use them intelligently.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I know. I said I'm just not a fan, but it seems to be working. So
yeah.
Who am I to argue?
If we had a David Ortiz or a Jesus Montero or someone where we could just say, you know, you're going to play every day and do a lot of DHing, then that would certainly be a nice luxury.
Yeah, there's no one really out there, I think, at this point who can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Just keep him away from the outfield, and I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. I kind of am concerned that the next time that we want an off day for one of our outfielders coinciding with a right-handed starting pitcher, we're going to see Ibanez back out there.
Oh, well, I expect it.
Yeah.
I know. Ew. Makes me shudder. All right, but no, I mean, the Yankees, you know, for all the talk of leaving runners in scoring position, which I, of course, hate, they've been pretty, their offense has scored like a nice quota of 5 or 6 runs a game, 11 the other. I mean, their offense has been pretty decent for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, tonight and then, but I know we're not going to talk about that, but the Hellickson shutout.
And then Saturday's game. I think, how many did we score on Saturday's game? Was it 3? Something like that. I forget who even pitched against, or who pitched against us either. Oh wait, I think it was CJ Wilson.
Yeah, it was.
Did I see something where he got injured?
I don't think so.
Okay, I thought I saw something where he got injured, or I hope not. I mean, I hate seeing players get injured. We'll talk about another certain injury later on, because that's definitely baseball news. All right, so I guess that's it for the hitting. On to the pitching of last week. We'll start with you, Waffles. What did you think of the pitching last week?
I didn't think it was great. CC didn't really look that good. Hughes struck out a lot of people, but he still gave up. I mean, he gave up a cheap Yankee Stadium home run, and whatever happened with Teixeira, where he kind of lost his mind. But the results weren't very good. I thought Kuroda pitched beautifully. I was really impressed by him because after his first start, you know, everybody came out with the whole NL pitchers can't pitch in the American League East, blah, blah, blah. But he was completely dominant in his start.
Against one of the best, like, lineups in the American League. I mean, I don't care whether it's AL East, AL Central. I mean, the Angels are no pushovers when it comes to scoring. I mean, considering who they have. So, yeah, no, Kuroda was incredibly impressive. Like you said, Hughes still needs work, no doubt about it.
Pitch, please.
yeah, CC hasn't looked good. Nova.
Nova looked good.
Yeah, I mean, he's showing why he's still on the team. And, you know, why I think he was our number two starter in the playoffs, if you want to even call him that. But, yeah, it's been interesting. Garcia, I mean, we won't even get into today's game, but Garcia looked, I mean, abysmal.
5 wild pitches.
Well, what bothered me about that game was Joe Girardi's decision to leave him in for that inning after Phelps was warmed up.
Yeah.
I was, like, shocked. I'm like, why is he back out there? He's shown the entire game he has little to no control.
I don't know what was
that
up
was
with
a
him.
Really weird game.
It was.
Because, I mean, Freddie really doesn't pitch that way. I mean, he throws a lot of off-speed pitches, and, you know, he can definitely bounce some pitches, but it just looked the entire game like he couldn't grip the baseball.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
Every time he tried to throw a splitter, it was a 50-foot pitch and a disaster for the catcher. Like, you know, I've seen, we have all seen, you know, what, 26 Freddy starts or something like that, and I've never seen him pitch anything like that.
No, I was about to say the same thing. Of all of last year, I don't ever remember seeing Garcia pitch that badly.
I mean, maybe not necessarily like that bad. I mean, he had some bad starts, but he was always kind of around the plate. You know, he would mix all of his pitches, and he would throw his fastball, his changeup, his splitter, his breaking ball, his everything, and but
he was bouncing everything.
Yeah, he would always be around the strike zone. He would mix all his pitches, but you know, kind of get everything to the catcher. He was never really wild.
No.
And this last game, he was just really wild, which kind of signals to me that something was really out of the ordinary. And it just looked like he had no feel for his splitter for whatever reason, and that whenever he went to that or even one of his breaking balls, that it was just not happening. And without that pitch or those pitches, he really is going to struggle.
Yeah, no, agreed. But, I mean, just to continue on with the pitching, the performance by David Phelps out of the bullpen has been nothing short of extraordinary.
Yeah.
He's been amazing.
I mean, you just consider, like, him he was a starter in AAA, right? I'm not making that up.
And all the way. He's been a starter his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, he's being used for long relief now, and I mean, I'm always a fan. I always like to give starters a shot, but for right now, I'm fine with Phelps in the bullpen. You know, maybe because I mean I don't think he's going to be a starter on this team. I really don't. I mean, unless
not this season, most likely.
Not probably not this season. I mean, if he really really does well in the bullpen, if he continues like this level of performance the entire year, then yeah, maybe he will get a starter position on the Yankees in the future. But yeah, no, his performance this past week has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, right now I think he's probably the eighth starter on the Yankees.
Yeah.
Behind the five in the rotation right now and Pettit and Pineda. And normally you need eight or more starting pitchers to make it through a season. So, you know, I could see with an injury or with some doubleheader or some strange thing, he gets a spot start. Sure, like I could definitely see that. Like Noesi managed to get in a few spot starts last season, but for any extended time in the rotation, I don't think it's really in the cards for this season. But if he keeps pitching really well, then it could be it in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You always worry, though, you're going to get those people who say, but he pitched so well in the bullpen, why move him to the starter position? And like, because that's where he might belong.
Well, it's kind of different because when that debate has kind of happened, it's really been someone pitching short relief, someone pitching the eighth inning, throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I mean, he has really pitched like a starter because he's been pitching three or five innings at a time
You know, we were talking about Hughes earlier, how, you know, he doesn't have an out pitch. Like, Phelps was just mowing. Like, I saw him just, like, mow batters down. Like, it was nothing to him. Like, I was like, you know, 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, strike three, he walks off. You know, he just walks off the mound knowing he struck him out. I was like, yes, that's kind of what I like to see. I mean, he just commands the strike zone. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Well, he's certainly off to a very good start to his season. I would be a little bit cautious and wait until some video gets out on him, wait until hitters get a second and third and fourth look at him before I get too carried away. I mean,
so you're saying we shouldn't rush to judgment?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I don't agree with that at all.
I know you wouldn't.
All right, so trying to think anything else important. Defense? I mean, the defense has been okay except for certain things, but I mean, Jeter had a nice range play one of the games last week. Cano did. Gardner made a nice catch, I think, but then he usually does. I mean, not to get into today's game, Granderson made a spectacular catch today.
Yeah, but he's been pissing me off by running the wrong direction, and about, you know, two-thirds of the the line drives or fly balls to center field, his first step is in the wrong direction.
I was actually thinking about that for my next Iggy article, about what would happen if we switched Gardner and Granderson, you know, because Gardner's, I think, clearly a better fielder. So you think he should be playing the position he's designed for. But, you know, Curtis Granderson is Curtis Granderson, so I don't even know what that means.
It would make sense. I mean, I would think that Gardner would play a better center field than Granderson. But it would kind of be a needless transition. Like, Gardner has played a lot of left field and Granderson has played a lot of center field. So kind of asking them each to learn a new position. I mean, I think Gardner would transition to center field better than Granderson would transition to left field, because to the extent of my knowledge, Granderson has never played left field. I'm sure he could do it, but he would definitely be a little bit out of sorts, I would think, for a little while.
True.
I think eventually, if Granderson is re-signed, that should be the plan. I think that Gardner should end up in center field if he stays with the team. But, you know, I don't really think that it's imperative to do that right now.
Oh, no, no, not at all. I was just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I mean, it would probably be the best defensive alignment because of how good of a defender Gardner is.
He's my boy.
Yeah. We could potentially see a little bit of, I mean, if Gardner has a weakness on defense, it's definitely his arm strength. And I could see some balls into right center where he has to make a little bit of longer throws, where that became a little bit more apparent. I think he has a very accurate arm, but not necessarily a very strong arm. And I think playing in left field kind of masks that. In center, it might be a little bit more apparent.
Yeah. Although, for the record, I can't remember the last time we've had a center fielder with a good throwing arm.
Yeah.
Actually, we haven't had
Melky.
Yeah, Melky has a strong arm, but not always an accurate arm. But right. But he could really uncork some throws.
But, yeah, no, I mean, the Yankees haven't really had outfielders who can throw for the longest time. I mean, I think O'Neill had a decent arm in right, but, it's been a while.
You don't like Johnny Damon's arm?
Shockingly, no. I thought it was pretty terrible.
His baby dinosaur arm is great.
Okay, all right.
It really is shocking that if you just, like, I mean, professional athletes are incredibly impressive physical specimens with everything that they do, but I swear you could, like, take someone out of the stands and put them in left field and they could outthrow Johnny Damon, which is just unreal.
Baby dinosaur arm.
Like, yes. Because they're so talented and they're so, like, you know, special physical specimens. But really, you know, just any average person could probably throw about as well as Johnny Damon. And he's a professional baseball player. Like, you would have to think that, like, someone would say, throw better. You know?
Build some arm strength.
Yeah.
Learn how to chuck.
What is your
ball.
Problem?
He had, like, terrible throwing form, and it was just...
All right, I think we BS'd about Johnny Damon's terrible baby dinosaur throwing arm for enough. All right, let's get on to this week in baseball, and I gotta say, it's been an interesting week. I mean...
It has been.
For me, I think right now, one of the more important stories in... even in terms of Yankee baseball, is the injury to Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, we discussed this, you know, a bit about how the Red Sox are really like a paper-thin team. Like, a couple or a few major injuries to key players, and, you know, you wonder how they're going to replace them. And Ellsbury, you know, if you consider Ellsbury's performance from last year, he's definitely on that list. What are your thoughts on this, Waffles?
I mean, I agree that, you know, a few dominoes falling the wrong way for them will be a disaster. He's going to be out, I think they said, 1 to 2 months.
Yeah.
So,
I thought they said that, sorry to interrupt you, but I thought they said that was a best case scenario. Like, he could possibly be out longer.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, it's only a partial dislocation. I think that when they said that, it could kind of be a season thing, they weren't really sure what the diagnosis was exactly.
It does
depend on healing.
Yeah, when you say partial dislocation, it just reminds me how I have such a very, very low tolerance for pain of any kind. Because I don't want to partially dislocate my shoulder at all. Whether I'm playing baseball or doing a podcast, it just sounds
painful.
If you partially dislocate your shoulder doing this podcast, I don't even know.
Normal people, on the other hand, Greg, are just like, yeah, sign me up for these partial dislocations.
Of course. But, Duggan, what do you think about the Ellsbury injury?
Well, they seemed very thin in the outfield, especially with Crawford already out. So I think they could ill afford to lose him, and they're going to have to scramble to make up for his production.
And his defense, too. I mean, he wasn't a bad defender.
They're getting production at the plate from really weird people, though, so.
Yeah, but you wonder how long that's going to keep up.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Another major injury this week. You know, it's almost like talking fantasy baseball because of these injuries, but, yeah, Brian Wilson of the Giants out for the season.
Second Tommy John surgery.
Second. Oh.
Sure. It's ridiculous.
Sure, the first was bad enough, but.
Dear San Francisco Giants, can we interest you in Rafael Soriano? Love, WWJD.
All right. Who can we get for Soriano, though?
Probably not much, but I would.
Buster Posey?
That would be nice.
I don't think that's possible, but.
Oh, it's not, but.
We could try.
Dream.
There's nothing wrong with trying.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they would laugh in our faces, but.
They might spit in our faces for that one. And rightfully so. I mean, the fact that we would even suggest that ridiculous trade is ludicrous.
I would take Brandon Belt. They hate him. He's like their Dominic Brown. I would take him.
It's not a bad idea. I still don't think it might, you know, would get done, but.
I would just love to get rid of him, though.
Yeah, he hasn't been impressing me so far.
I don't even really. That's not even important. I just don't like his contract.
Oh, that too.
But yeah, anyway.
I thought it was kind of funny that the other day, I can't pitch, I broke a nail.
Oh yeah, that was something.
And I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable explanation for not being able to pitch, because if you really would, like, break your nail, you wouldn't be able to pitch effectively. But it's just funny because it's Soriano.
It kind of personifies everything we've come to, like, think about him.
It still sounds
like. I can't pitch, I broke a nail.
It sounds like complete pussydom. I mean, it really does.
And which is unfair, because, like, really, if your nail broke when you threw a pitch, like, you wouldn't be able to continue pitching. Like, it's a perfectly reasonable excuse, but.
Not for him. For him, it's laughably stupid, I think. But, I mean, I'm trying to think what else has happened in baseball this week.
Bobby Valentine running his stupid mouth.
You know, that got more blown out than I actually thought it would be, but.
Really?
Well,
it's Boston.
I know, I'm just saying, like, I remember when I was almost finished writing the news last night, and I saw that tweet pop up on Deadspin. I'm like, what is this? It's like, oh, this is going in the news. Just because I find it funny. It's like, at first I thought it was really just a minor fluff piece, but then no, it's like, hey, everyone's focused on this, because it really is stupid.
And then Pedroia, you know, kind of the leader of their team, came out and said that he didn't know what Bobby Valentine was trying to do, but that's not how they handle their business. It just really makes him look like he doesn't have control of his team.
Well, Shrimpy McCusselheart, you know, He gets you right.
And didn't he apologize? He didn't Bobby Valentine say, like, I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry?
Except he apologized in a very weird way. It was not like, I'm sorry for saying that you didn't care about the game anymore, Kevin Euclid. It was like, I'm sorry that I answered the question in a way that you interpreted to mean that I was saying blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Sounds about, you know, Valentine.
But yeah.
What I said, what I really found funny about this, and I tweeted about it earlier, was that, you know, during the off season, you know, the chemistry professor at GM, you know, Ben Cherington, was saying how he wanted to build the team this year on team chemistry. And of course I find that hilarious, because one would think you'd want to build the team on the problems you had last year, which wasn't really chemistry, and more that you had absolutely no freaking depth, where you couldn't go the distance, and you had absolutely no pitching depth. I would figure that would be what you try to build on, but no, he wanted to go with team chemistry, and he hires the manager that just has problems with that. So,
well, if you wanted team chemistry, and you wanted a player's manager who the players all liked,
that is not it.
You already had one. You had Tito. They all loved him. Tito was the epitome of a player's manager.
Oh, yeah. Players love Tito.
Yeah.
Most everyone loves Francona. He's a likable person.
Yeah.
I don't even mind him in the ESPN booth.
From watching him, I never was particularly impressed with his strategy or his in-game managing or anything like that. But the players all liked him, so if it was team chemistry that you wanted, then there's your guy.
Yeah. And Bobby Valentine has always been kind of known as, like, the opposite of that. Like,
yeah.
He's always been willing to throw someone under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But he's always been considered more of an in-game, do shrewd things kind of guy, even if it was for, you know, squeeze bunting and NL baseball and that kind of stuff. He's always been considered a in-game kind of guy and not a player's manager kind of guy.
So, yeah, speaking of Francona, or was Titty Frank, as Russia called him in the thread, which I found absolutely hilarious, I really love the fact that Boston invited him to their, you know, 100-year centennial at Fenway Park, and he said no because of how they treated him last year. I've as a person who loves to see the Red Sox suffer and just revel in their stupidity, I really do love how they've alienated probably their most popular and famous, and I guess you could even say
most successful
manager of the past 100 years. I love how they've managed to alienate him. I find that absolutely hilarious. But that's me.
Well, you could definitely say that they used him as a little bit of a scapegoat for how disastrous things ended up last season.
Oh, that one, I'll never forget that one article. I read the whole thing maybe twice, and boy, does it throw him under the bus. I mean, it throws him under a couple buses. Like those cheap Bolt buses you can get from New York to Boston for like $10. It was amazing. It was really amazing, like, that article. And, like, just to, for those listeners who don't know, I mean, if you think the New York sports media is vicious or, you know, just relentless, I don't think they're anything compared to the Boston media, especially when it comes to the Red Sox and their vast history of losing. But enough about Red Sox hate. Anything else in baseball happened that interested anyone else?
The Marlins home run thing went off.
Oh, yes. We never got to talk about Marlins Park in the last broadcast, because we went over.
It's bright.
What do you think of it, Duggan?
I think they win. I think that everything that they have done, I think all of their bullshit that people were like, oh, this is so, like, tacky and not cool and so ugly, I think they win because it's become so relevant, because people have been so concerned about, you know, watching games to see that home run thing go off. I think that somehow, some way, with all of the crazy shit that they've done, I think that they win because they have been important. They have been, people have been tuning in to see that crazy thing in center field go off. People have been caring about the Marlins' new park. I think they've done a good job of drumming up publicity for their new place.
They have done that.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they did it, like, if they, it's all good publicity. It certainly isn't. I think there's still people who think that it's a tacky monstrosity, and they're probably right.
Oh, but it is a tacky
as far as becoming relevant and as far as getting attention, I think they've done a brilliant job. I think that their crazy shit has all worked.
I will admit to watching the games over the weekend to see said tacky monstrosity go off, and found myself really upset when Gabby Sanchez hit a walk-off single, I guess it was, that bounced just off the wall when it looked like it was going out. But that's just me.
They created excitement for their new ballpark. I mean, they took a very unconventional route to doing that, but they have created excitement for it.
Well, I mean, like another, I think I've given longtime listener more shout-outs on this podcast than anyone else. But like he said, when he
LTL, we're doing this podcast for you, bro.
All right, it's the nachos. But like he said, when he first saw the thing, it's like, yeah, it's hideous, but you know what? People are gonna embrace it. And they really have, like, you know, it's, for me, it's like me in bad movies and stuff. Sometimes it's so awful, it actually transcends, like, any type of rating or anything and becomes good. But my thing is, like, I think the rest of the ballpark is hideous. I mean, just certain things about it. I don't like the outfield. Because of that home run thing, there's this weird curve in the outfield, which I do not like. I do not like the color of the walls at all. The fish tanks do nothing for me in terms of, you know, making it look presentable or anything like that. I don't understand the need for a club out there, and I don't see how that's going to draw anyone who wants to actually watch baseball. But I guess they're going for people who probably don't want to watch baseball. But I do agree with you in a way that, you know, the publicity of how the tacky monstrosity with this hilariously awful home run abomination out there has worked in getting people to watch Marlins baseball. I just don't know how long it will last.
Well, if they win, it'll last, I think. If they, you know, become an irrelevant team, I think it will definitely fade out.
Speaking of winning, the Nationals are looking good.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, they've created a solid team, you know. Yeah, it's only the beginning of the season, but, and I mean, this, who did
the Mets are winning.
The Mets are winning too, yes. I mean.
And the Rangers look unbeatable.
Oh, jeez.
They really do. It's crazy.
Ah, I guess we haven't talked about Darvish yet, have we?
He's been really interesting to watch. I mean, he's looked so wild and really, I mean, you can see just watching him that he has fantastic stuff, and that if he can kind of rein himself in, he will be really, really successful here. That if he could just control his pitches, he would have a ton of success. And, you know, walks were never really an issue for him in Japan. He was always billed as having really great control. And so you have to wonder if he can just stay in the strike zone with the movement and the number of pitches that he has and the sharpness of those pitches, if he can just throw a bunch of strikes and not be all over the place, if there's just, you know, another stratosphere that he can go into, and, you know, I have to think that he's going to have some fantastic games. You know, maybe he'll be inconsistent, but I have to think that, you know, a few times maybe this season he's going to put it all together and just, you know, throw a complete game shutout where he just embarrasses everyone. But we'll kind of have to see how he develops. But I think that there's both a lot of reasons to be excited about Darvish if you're a Rangers fan, and definitely some reasons to be a little bit concerned because this wildness has kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's really hampered him from being as good as he can be. But man, does he throw some really, really incredible pitches.
Yeah, I'll say this. If he does come to Yankee Stadium, I would definitely try to go to that game to see him pitch. Like,
yeah.
For the reasons you said. I mean, mind you, I of course would hope we beat him, but you know, yeah, still it would be incredible. Like I would go to a Mets game to see a Strasburg pitch for the Nationals just because. And speaking of Strasburg, he's looking real good right out of the gate.
I mean, he's
been really good.
Yeah, hopefully he stays healthy. I was just looking, and unfortunately, the Red Sox do not face Darvish next week. So, curses. I'm trying to look if we do. I mean, no, it looks like he'll face the Tigers. So, we might see him for one game when we're out in Texas. Maybe the Wednesday game.
That would be fun to face him. I feel like the Yankees have such a patient lineup that they could work some walks and do okay against him. Especially with the way he's pitching right now, where he's a little bit wild.
Yeah. All right, is that it for baseball? I can't think of anything else.
Probably
yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah, we can probably move on before people are killing themselves.
Yeah, screw the rest of baseball. All right. Time for, of course, our favorite segment, our Yankee and Mitre of the week. So, who wants to start? You know what, Duggan, we'll start with you. Who is your Yankee of the week?
Kuroda.
Kuroda, a good choice.
That's all I have to say.
That's all.
Yeah, okay. He was good.
Yeah.
He pitched a really beautiful game, so Kuroda.
All right, so short and simple. Waffles, your Yankee of the week.
David Phelps.
Yeah, another solid choice.
He's been great.
All right, another quick. Yeah, okay, let's keep this quick this week. My Yankee of the week, Derek Jeter. Again, hitting the ball incredibly. He's trying to go from...
He really has been great.
Going from captain to admiral at this point. So, yeah, Derek Jeter, my Yankee of the week. Now, Duggan, your Mitre of the week.
Phil Hughes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been really terrible, and I think that the increased strikeouts are somewhat of a reason to be optimistic that he will improve. Because the biggest difference between minor league Hughes and major league Hughes, and between bullpen Hughes and rotation Hughes, has been that he's really struggled to put people away and get those strikeouts and get swings and misses. And so him getting those swings and misses is definitely encouraging, and him getting those strikeouts is encouraging. I think that he can improve. I think that his results have not necessarily been indicative of how well he's been pitching, but he hasn't really been able to go deep into games. He hasn't really been able to keep the team in games. So he gets the Mitre, but I think that he has been pitching better than his results have shown, and I think he can pitch better, but I think he needs to do that as soon as possible. I think it would really behoove him to start pitching better.
Oh, yes. All right, Waffles, your Mitre of the week.
I'm going with Mark Teixeira.
Okay.
He's been better the past couple games, but before that he was pretty much a disaster at the plate. And, I mean, he just has not looked very comfortable up there, I don't think. So we kind of need him to do that thing he does where he hits.
Yeah, it'd be nice. All right, and my Mitre of the week is Freddy Garcia. And this is not based on today's game, Monday's game, because I'm not, I said this is for last week's, but his pitching performance was so terrible where it really deserves the Mitre of the week. I mean, like we said before, I don't think I've ever seen him pitch just like quite like that, so wildly. And he looked like a totally different pitcher out there. Like, the mirrors broke, the smoke blew away, whatever. So, yeah, Freddy Garcia, my Mitre of the week. Don't forget to let us know your Mitres and Yankees of the week, either on our blog or in the comments section. Alright, moving right along, we have a new segment to introduce to the Pinstripe Ballet podcast. Hosted by our notes guru, What Would Jeter Do? And it is called Baby Yankees. What Would Jeter Do? Take it away.
Well, it's about the minors, which is, you know, cool.
Alright, that's it. So we just want to let you know the minors are cool. Moving right now.
I like them.
Continue on, Waffles.
But seriously, I guess the most impressive thing to come out of the minors is, or at least this week, is Jose Campos, who has pitched 16 innings and only given up 5 hits and 1 run. He's like 18 strikeouts. He's been really, really amazing for Charleston.
So he's looking good. That's good.
Yep. I know that when the trade happened, a lot of people kind of saw him as a throw-in, but he's certainly not pitching like a throw-in. So, yeah. And I guess on the other side of the spectrum would be Dellin Betances, who has been awful. He's given up 15 runs and 11 walks in 13 innings.
What was your nickname for him?
Ducklin.
Right, Dellin Betances.
Well, see, we have to give the context now.
Yes,
do. When the Yankees had Andrew Brockman, Duggan, Jedi Master A-Rod, and I called him Andrew Duckman, because when he would throw, it was going all over the place and probably right at the batter's head. Well, now that he's gone, Betances has kind of taken over that role, so he gets to be Ducklin.
All right.
And Jedi posted a picture of him with a duck mouth in the recap. Because he was real bad tonight.
You know, you three are a silly bunch.
I've heard that before.
Anything else from the minors you'd like to report?
Hitting-wise, Tyler Austin is doing ridiculous things for Charleston. He's hitting .444 with, like, 3 home runs.
I know nothing about him, like...
He's a pretty decent, he's a pretty decent prospect. He kind of started to make the top 10 list-ish this year.
What position does he play?
The outfield, I think.
Okay. I honestly didn't know.
Well, now I have to be sure, because I don't want to say that and then have it be something else. I think it's the outfield, though.
Okay.
Another person who has been doing really well is Dwayne Wise. Yes, Tyler Austin does play the outfield.
There you go, see?
For,
not even in your notes.
Right. For Scranton Traveling Circus. He's hitting .500. So he's been doing really well. In case we need someone to, I guess, have the Dickerson role. Okay.
Oh, I'm okay. Not letting that one go for a while.
Okay, that's about enough.
Before we get into that, anything else from the Baby Yankees minor report you'd like to report?
Gary Sanchez is hitting well. Mesa Williams is doing pretty well. Scranton sucks. Charleston is good.
I heard about Man-Ban.
Man-Ban is on the disabled list.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm very sad about it.
Alright, is that it?
That's about it.
Alright, now it's time for our next newest segment. What beer is Duggan drinking? Duggan, oh, what beer are you drinking right now?
I'm actually drinking a Coors.
Nice. Any specific brand or just a regular Coors?
Just a regular Coors, the banquet beer.
The banquet beer. That man's voice is so deep, it's kind of scary at times.
Yep.
Alright, any Yankee injuries recently? I'm just trying to think. I don't think there's been any major injuries on the team so far.
No.
All right. So I guess that about wraps this podcast up, you know, in a nice thick Dickerson roll. Like I said, I'm not letting that one go. That was fantastic.
Jeez.
You know how I love to play with that man's name in the threads, so...
I know.
You love to play with Dickerson?
Oh!
There we go.
Oh, now we know. Now it's out.
It's all with...
Oh, it is. It's all right, though.
It's all notes and Dickerson with her.
I'm just gonna stop talking now. Just gonna stop. I have nothing else to say.
Alright, next week we'll tell you what other beer Lord Duggan is drinking. It could be a Coors again, who knows? Do you like to branch out?
Of course.
Of course. Much like a tasty Dickerson. Okay, oh my all right.
God. We need to go. Thank you for joining us this week.
Wow, she's ending the podcast before I can. There we go. That's when you know, like, you know, I'm just losing control. Or just going insane. One of the two. Alright, so I guess that pretty much wraps it up for this week's... Oh, one more quick thing. Any games you're looking forward to seeing this week? Waffles?
I'm looking forward to seeing CeCe. Maybe he'll be better now. And Nova, because he's awesome.
And great job at holding in your laughter there, too. I can hear it on the other end.
Thanks.
No problem. Duggan, any games you're interested in this week?
All of them. All
right. I might go to Thursday's game. I haven't quite decided yet. I kind of want to. I mean, I can get, like, really cheap tickets for, like, the upper deck and stuff. And
Are you going to be booing people?
It depends on who. I mean... The Yankees haven't really given me anyone to boo yet. I mean, there's no one really out there that deserves a good booing. I mean, I wouldn't even, like, Garcia had an awful start today. Hughes had an awful start his second game, and they're still not, you know, worth booing. The only people I really boo are people who I feel have absolutely zero place on this team. Like, you know, say a Sergio Mitre, or a Chad Gaudin, or a Scott Proctor. Or Joe Girardi's binder. I mean, those are things you boo. Maybe Raul Ibanez's looks. They're pretty booable.
Yeah, they are.
Let's see? Any shout-outs you want to give?
No.
Screw... You know what? Screw the PSA block.
We decided we don't like
y'all.
Yeah,
you all suck.
Actually, we already gave a couple shout-outs.
Long-time listener.
Yes.
Hello, as always.
Rorschach. I don't even think he listens.
He says that I squeak, so apparently he does.
Oh, that's true. He does. You mentioned Jedi Master A-Rod with the Ducklin. I do enjoy that. All right, so that about wraps it up for this podcast. As I said before, we now have a blog, pinstripealleypodcast.blogspot.com. You can check out the podcast there. Comment if you feel like it, or you can comment in the thread. This will eventually be posted in on Pinstripe Alley. You can now subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Pinstripe Alley Podcast and look for the one that has the more podcasts in it, because that's the one you'll want to subscribe to. The other one I'm going to look to try to get deleted if possible, but if not, just ignore that for the rest of your podcast subscribing lives. And again, you may send us emails to pinstripealleypodcast@gmail.com as I got that little issue we had fixed.
We're not trying to hack into anyone's email.
I know. Should have never given you two the password. But anyway, so yeah, there are many ways to contact us. And of course, in threads or in an email, let us know your Yankee and Mitre of the week. We will be trying to collect them all and... see how it goes during the year. Although not enough people are responding, so we might abandon that idea. We'll see. Time moves on. Anyway, for What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan, I'm giving you a raise. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Yankees. And Dickerson Roll.